What do we seek when we come to church? When we come to God in prayer? When we turn our minds and wills to the matter of living faithfully as people turned to Christ? Sometimes what we seek and what we find are two very different things, and that is perhaps what's going on for the Greeks in today's gospel reading. But in order to understand that, let's set the scene a bit. It is, at this point in John's Gospel, sometime between the triumphal entry on Palm Sunday and the Last Supper. These Greeks are presumably non-Jewish believers in the Jewish God who have come to Jerusalem for the Passover festival and seen all the commotion of Jesus' triumphal entry. Perhaps they wondered what it was all about and who this person was, who was the centre of so much drama. But whatever the reason, they decide they would like to find out more, and so they somehow find Philip and ask for an introduction to Jesus himself. But what have they seen? They've seen, maybe, Jesus riding into town on a donkey. They've seen an adoring crowd hailing him as a God-given national liberator, someone who was expected to kick out the Romans and restore some sort of Jewish religious and political autonomy in their own land. And maybe they want to see if this is really a man who's going to turn the order of this part of the world on its head. But it's not what they find. They find a man trying to explain to his followers that within the week he must die. That rather than seizing political power and glory, spiritual victory is only going to come through his willingness to give up his life, his pride, and any claim to earthly power. I wonder if those visiting Greeks stuck around after that, or if they went away confused or just sort of downright nonplussed at this supposed Messiah spouting what just might to them have seemed like nonsense. On one level, it's a bit strange to be reading this now. In some ways, it would make more sense to have Palm Sunday first and the triumphal entry, and then look at Jesus' interactions in the last week of his life. But I think looking at it this morning serves as a timely warning for us. Before we even come to Holy Week, before we come to the most profound observances of the Christian year, it stands as a reminder to kind of check our motivations and our expectations. Just when we think we know what sort of God this is and what God's doing and what the plan is, we might find that, in fact, we've misunderstood, or like the crowds on Palm Sunday, our pride, our ego, our fantasies and delusions, our misplaced hopes, or any other sort of thinking not grounded in God's life have led to us building up a set of deeply flawed expectations. We wish to see Jesus, say the Greeks in today's reading, but it's not at all clear that they have any idea what they're asking for. And we who should know better might all too easily fall into the same sort of mistake. So Jesus warns us, death before glory. The cross is what is going to bring life. And anyone who's not willing to take that on in their own life of following Jesus is going to miss the point. And that might well leave us with some things to ponder on a personal level over the coming weeks. But there is, however, I think another layer to this, and that is there's a long history of Christians kind of accepting this message on a personal level, taking on board the need for personal sacrifice and willingness to let go of pride and ego, perhaps even die if necessary, but expect that they do so that the church can triumph, that we give ourselves and our time and our energy and our money, our talents to the church, and in turn we get to see the church as glorious and victorious in the world. This is a particular temptation in our time, I think, to yearn for the good old days when the church was central to community life, was influential in government, and was powerful in ways which touched people's lives from the most minute level of what you ate on Friday to the grandest level of drawing national boundaries. It's an aside maybe, but do you know that the reason Brazil is the only country in South America to speak Portuguese is because Pope Alexander VI drew a line on a map and told the Spaniards they could have one side to colonise and control and the Portuguese can have the other side. Can you imagine that happening today? But I digress, if only slightly. It's natural perhaps to want to see the church have its own Palm Sunday moment, its opportunity to reclaim power and glory, its own resurgence of influence. And that might even come from good motives, from a genuine desire to love God and love our neighbours, and ask what could be better than for everyone to come to know and love God too. But I suspect that Jesus' message in today's gospel is perhaps as much for the church as an institution as it is for each of us individually. Death before glory. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. The church that grasps after power and influence, that yearns for a return to the centre of things, that thinks the way to life is by sheer dominance and power, is not following Jesus, and will find that that road leads only to death and not to new life. But the church that is willing to be stripped powerless, the church that is willing to be shamed and humiliated, the church that is willing to follow Jesus to the margins, the church that is willing to die to itself as an institution in order to be faithful to itself as the body of Christ, may yet find surprising moments of resurrection. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And maybe these are words we need to take carefully to heart.